Okay, and the study number is 119. And we're going to start with chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. And it's good to have all y'all with us tonight. And
yep, good crowd.
And and I didn't know about D last night, but in my prayer to God was quite long, and I included all the saints.
Amen.
And I was glad I did.
Amen. Yes, you're doing much better.
Okay. So we're going to start at 2:1 and continue on like we've been doing. I'm going to read it in the King James Version and then read my notes, and then we're going to go from Jack's interlinear, Jack Everly's interlinear that he did, and we will go through his notes and read the scripture that he put forth. And most of these verses of scripture that we're reading, because the word testifies of itself. This is about the only book that you can get. The Bible is about the only book that you can get and open and realize that it testifies of itself. But there's not very much that it doesn't testify to. Occasionally there'll be maybe one word in there that's used only one time in the New Testament, but still, basically, it's you know, you can go back and look at what either Paul or other men that wrote some of the epistles did, and realize and understand that. Okay, this deals with Paul talking to young Timothy, and as for instructions and discipline. And it goes from 2:1 to 3:13 in the chapter numbers, and it's broken down. It's interversion, and it's broken down into three different sections. Chapter 2:1-8 deals with men, and it talks about kings and others. And then from 9:2-9-15, it deals with the woman's part of it. And then from chapter 3:1-13, it deals with men again, talking about overseers and ministers. So as Timothy gets this instruction, of course, Paul is preparing him for the fact to be an overseer or a minister in that position, because Paul realizes he's not going to be here too awfully long. So, this is a kind of passing the torch, so to speak, in that sense. Okay, it says in 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. So that's really basically what I was doing in my prayer last night, because I just finished this study and I had it on my mind. And
funny how that works.
Was it ever needed, you know? Was it ever needed? Really true. Okay, so it kind of deals with all the aspects here. Paul is laying out to Timothy about prayer and what prayer can do and who it's for and how it's to be used in those senses. So it says the first word is exhort, therefore. And that you can, in the Koine Greek, that is parakaleo. Parakaleo means to call aside, to appeal to, by the way of exhortation, entreaty, comfort, or instruction. A lot of ways that it can be used in that sense. And it says that first of all, there's that first of all that we find in this verse of Scripture. It says that first of all, supplications. And the word supplications is, if I don't mess it up, it's desis. Desis. Asking for a special object having regards to our necessity rather than to God's sufficiency to supply it. That's supplications. That a lot of times God left man to deal with his own basic problems of collecting his food and doing all these things. We don't necessarily all of a sudden appear upon our table as to what we need or to our needs or wants. You know, it's something that we have to get out and toil for. And that's when Adam left the Garden of Eden, he found that out. And so that's supplications, because I look at it as prayer for others, and for their well-being, in that terms also.
And Paul, you get right down to it. Paul talks about supplication almost as much as he does prayer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they oftentimes go together.
Prayer and
supplication.
Yeah, it's always necessary that if you're going to bring up someone's name, it can be for all sorts of things. It can be, you know, related to family, related to what he believes, or related to things that he can't find the answers to, and all kinds of things like that. So prayer is a very important part of man's life, and certainly in this dispensation,
it was
right up top of the list, I think, to that sense. Supplication, and then prayers. Here's prayers on its own. And when you think about it, the word is prosuke in the Greek, but it's a vow that man makes to God. He is promising God or thanking God for what he has. Prosuke, or having regards to the power of him who is invoked and giving prominence to our personal devotion. You know, if God is listening to us, we need to make it worth his while. We need to ask for the things that are important, like wisdom and knowledge and truth and direction. You know, that's what the Spirit's there for. The Spirit is within us to do that very thing and to make it known unto God in a better way than we could say it ourselves lots of times. And that's real important, because The next word there is intercessions. And that's confiding access to God in a childlike manner and giving thanks. And that is, if we ask God as an adopted son of God, if it's done properly, God hears that. Now, whether he answers it or not is another story, but
certainly
he hears that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you're raising children and one of them has a special need and he comes to you and he says, "Dad, I need some help with this." Certainly you're going to do it. I mean, you're going to do it. Well, where did we learn that from? We learned it from God.
Yeah.
We should have learned it from God and do it and ask for it in a childlike manner. Because that's what we are, children of God, adopted children of God, called saints. Not a problem. And giving thanks. You know, we're here as users. And God is here as provider. And so we need to all remember that. That whatever we have and whatever we can accomplish or get, there's a reason why we have it. Because God is gracious in his love, because it's agape love. It is love, but really an expectation of return. He's going to love us whether we love him or not. That's the reason he gave his son for us. Because there was nothing else tied to it. The son did it because the father asked him to. And they understood that's the way it worked. So giving thanks there, be made for all men. So we should not hesitate and leave those out that we need certainly to remember by the way of prayer. Okay, so let's look at verse 1 in Jack's interlinear. And down from the Koine Greek, it reads like this: "I exhort, therefore, first of all, to be made supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings on behalf of all men." And that's pretty much the way it is on down in the more modern English. It's not, that doesn't really change that much at all. And so this is Jack's notes. And certainly it says the body members should be praying for one another. Body members are praying for one another across or around the globe.
Amen.
But it is clear.
Well said, well timed.
Yeah. But it is clear that we cannot draw a circle around our prayer subjects. In many ways, we can pray generally for those who have met calamity and are in a particular need. We can pray also for folks in general to come to know Christ. There are no limits to subjects for prayer for those who will labor and be compassionate for the lost. Okay, and there's five places here that we need to go and look at according to this first verse here. And okay, We're going to look at Philippians first. Turn back a few pages to Philippians. And we're going to go to Philippians 8, 26 and 27.
No, we ain't.
Wait a minute.
We might go to Philippians 4 or something.
Oh, okay.
That's as far as we go.
Get along. Philippians 1, 4. I was looking at the wrong thing.
That's all right.
Get me straight, Pop.
See what kind of Bible you had there.
Philippians 1, 4.
That might have First Condominiums right behind that, right?
Yeah. Always in every prayer of mine, Paul says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That was on page 1773. Okay, and let's go to Philippians 4. I won't push it any further than the floor. I know better, but sometimes my mind won't work good. Philippians 4:6.
We have all done that.
And I'm going to start at 4. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Full stop. But he wanted to mention it again. And it says, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So the forbearance, the moderation, should be able to be seen unto everybody that you deal with. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there it is. There's 3 of the 4. Let your requests be made known unto God. So this is in Philippians, isn't it? And it's still, like I said, the word testifies of itself. Okay, now, we're going to the 8th chapter, but it's in Romans. And I know Romans has got eight chapters.
That we can accommodate.
I read the wrong line on my notes here. Romans 8, on page 1679, if you got a companion Bible, we're going to read 26 in 27. I always liked Romans 8.
Yep.
It had a lot to say. I might just add 28 to it anyway. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Full stop. Now, Paul is making a bold statement here. He says, for we know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, think about this now, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit can put the word in that we can't even think of.
Yep.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is the job of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our GPS. This is where we get our direction. It's God's perfect Son. And he's not going to get you off of that direction that God has laid out for you to go on. Let's look at 28 while we're here. You know, without being in this dispensation, this is about as good as it gets.
Yep.
28 says this, and I got it, Ronnie or somebody did a big piece of wood on mine and gave it to me, and I got it hung in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, and we know, Grandma had one in her house too. We all know that, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. If you understand that God has got a purpose for you, you're in great company. I'm going to tell you that right
Amen.
Now. It don't get much better company than that. You can't get in much better company than that here on the earth. Sure enough.
Amen.
Okay. I want to look at verse 34, too, while we're here. In verse 34, chapter 8 says, Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Because you see, the Spirit knows exactly what the expectation is of God, and that's what the Comforter is. He is the one that can give God our true need, and the comfort will come that way. Because you remember in chapter 2, when Christ told him, stay here in Jerusalem until Pentecost, and the Comforter will come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the indwelling time. It ain't the we you kind. It ain't the upon you kind. It's the indwelling kind. And you know, it's a funny thing that the Spirit can indwell you without you really feeling Him do it. But there's times that you can feel Him and know He's there, whether you can do it all the time or not, but at least when hard times comes, you are bound to know that you're not alone. Because if you've been chosen of God for a purpose, you're not going to ever be alone. You might be by yourself, but you're never alone.
No. Amen.
Because
I think Mike felt that this weekend.
Yeah. So that you know, this study is a true description of what he's going through.
Yeah, yeah.
I know for a fact. Okay, we looked at verse 34. Okay, let's look at Romans 11 for just a minute. Romans 11:2. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's what we're talking about here. Romans 11:2 on page 1683. Yep. Well, let's just read 1 and 2. It says, I say then, hath God cast away people? God forbid, or no, certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot you not that the scripture says of Isaiah, how that he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down their altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. You see, sometimes we get into the situation that we don't let God work his love, and we feel alone at times. But that's just not the end of the story. Okay, let's go to Hebrews. So let's go on the other side of Timothy and go into Hebrews. And we're going to go to Hebrews 7, verse 25. And it's on two different pages. 1833 and 1834. It says, wherefore he is able, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. Now him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. And he's talking about the high priest there. Pretty sure it was Melchizedek probably there in Hebrew. Okay. So this is what Jack could give us to look at there. So we got that one. Verse 2 said, for kings and for all that are in authority. So,
you in 1 Timothy, oh, you're in 2:1, 2:2, yeah.
1 Timothy 2:2.
That one was on me. I had wrong click.
Okay.
So you got me back.
For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So, he says for kings here. And it really goes beyond that because they can be others that have authority over us in our work and the different ways that goes. But now the king, kings back then had a lot of absolute authority. You know, they held life or death, and their thoughts of how they could operate. But when you look at the others that have authority, it can get to be hectic at times because the people that you do business with or work with or whatever may not have the same ideas and ideals that you have. And you might be put in a situation that, you know, that you don't like to be into. So, let's just call these high places. For all that are in high places or in a higher position that you are, whatever it is you're striving to do. If that makes sense. It says that we may lead, and that word is diago in the Greek, diago, that we may lead, and that there could be in order that we may lead, or diago, living, a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. Because quiet and peaceful is something that in this day and age a lot of times is rather always kind of hectic, seems like. It's we can't get there fast enough, we can't do this well enough or fast enough to suit people, we can't, you know, all these things that we get involved in. Other people have ideas, and a lot of times we have to kind of go with their ideas because they may be in authority. And so that's something good to remember there too. Also, now my note says this: for or beyond kings, and for all that are authority in high places, that are in order that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and honesty. Godliness and honesty. So if we're going to do it in godliness and honesty, sometimes we're asked to do things that don't jive in that situation there. So let's see what Jack says about it. We're going to look at verse 2. Down from the Koine Greek, it says, beyond kings and all that are in high places are that tranquil and quiet life we may lead in all goodness and gravity. Beyond kings and all that are in high places, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all goodness and gravity. Jack says this in his notes. Once again, we see the nature of the testimony of the body to those beyond kings, to these principalities and authorities, as well as all that are in high places, that we may have of quiet and tranquil lives. Paul may not have had such a quiet life to some, yet he was an inward peace in the middle of turmoil. Paul did live his life in goodness. He was often ready to help, had compassion for the lost, and lived his life as Christ would have wanted him to. He lived in all gravity also. No one knew more fully the issues of life better than the Apostle Paul. Could we but balance our daily concerns and long-term situation as Paul lived under the headship of Christ? And so we got four places to look at here with this verse of Scripture. There's two in the Old Testament, and let's look at them first. We're going to look at Isaiah 66:2. That's on page 1013 if you have a companion Bible. Isaiah 66. Okay, I got it. Find 66. Yeah. We'll just start in 66:1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Full stop. Where is the house that you built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hands made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my words. So that's Isaiah 66:2. Now, let's go back to Proverbs 15. That's on page 866. And it's Proverbs 15:26. It's the first one on that page, if you have a companion Bible. And it says this, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. So what he's saying here, the thoughts of the wicked, God doesn't accept. But of the one that's looking for the pure truth, he said they come to him as pleasant words. And certainly they should. Okay. The other two, one is in Philippians 4:8. Seems like we can't get out of Philippians tonight, but that's okay too. A lot was said there. In Philippians 4:8, and we took a long time when we went through Philippians, because there's about 8 things there that he talks about. So I call this a pregnant verse, because it has so much in it. And a lot of times we don't take time to stop and smell the roses. We did with this one, though. He says, finally, brother. Well, let's go back to 7. We've got to do that, because he says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the truth of God that deals with our wisdom and how to use it, and our hearts as to how to speak it. Because it says, what comes in the heart comes out the mouth quite often. Well, let's look at 8. Okay, think about this again. I'm going to read it again. 7 and 8. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever, whatsoever things are true, that's number 1. Whatsoever things are honest, that's number 2. Whatsoever things are just, that's number 3. Whatsoever things that are pure, that's number 4. And whatsoever things that are lovely is number 5. And whatsoever things are of good report, that's number 6. If there be any virtue, that's number 7. And if there be any praise, That is number 8, and it says, think on these things. What do you do with your mind? You think. That is where wisdom and knowledge comes from. It comes from being able to give an understanding of these words that we just used, this, all 8 of them. And that's the bedrock of God's love to us, to mankind. Think on these things. When you think on these things, you've got me in the forefront. That's the way it is. Verse 9 says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen of do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Man, that's some deep words. That's some deep thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's look at 1 Peter 3. We are almost there. Couple of pages. Okay, 1 Peter 3. I'm going to look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, not afraid with any amazements. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Did you know that you could be heirs of the grace of life? That your prayers be not hindered. Make those supplications, make those intercessions. Always give thanks to God for what you have. And that's old Peter speaking God's word here and giving us God's word. In that sense. Okay. Verse 3. We got, how much time we got left?
9:18.
Okay.
It's 9:18.
It says, these verses are not real long verses, but they're, you can see why Paul is really pushing them on to Timothy. Because it's a necessary thing. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is a short one. It says this. What we've read tonight is verse 1 and 2. And so I think that's what this is. It's verse 1 and 2. For this, verse 1 and 2 is good and acceptable. And acceptable is apodectos. in the sight of or before God, our Savior. And Paul uses the word Savior often, especially in his later epistles. And here's one of them. Acceptable unto in the sight of God our Savior. And let's go back to Romans 15 again. Romans 15, page 1691, we're going to look at verse 16, and we're going to look at 31, and it'll be on page 1692. Okay, Romans 15, 16. Let me go back a page. He says, nevertheless, brethren, in 15, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Christ Jesus in those things which pertains to God. Okay. That was 16. And now I need to go to 15, and now I need to go to 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy, by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. And so that's what he has given us to look at in Romans. Now, you've got the 2 Corinthians 6:2. 2 Corinthians 6:2. And I think that's on two different pages also. Yeah. Let's start with 6:1 and do 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Full stop. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So that goes back with 1 Timothy 2:3. So it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We got quite a bit look at in 4. So I guess we're about at
9:24.
Okay. We can do those 3 verses and stop there for this night. Because we're going, when we get to 4, we're going to deal with 2 different things in that verse, and it puts us into quite a bit of scripture that we truly need to look at and give it a little thought. And so our time is about up, so we'll go ahead and call it a day for the day with where we are, and we'll pick up with that and go on. And from there in our next study. But prayer here is an important product in this age that is about to close Paul out. And to realize that prayer is a very important aspect of our life. It's a very important aspect of the body of Christ. And to get others to see and to understand and to realize that it's an ever waste of time to talk, have a conversation with the one that controls everything that you and I have.
Amen.
And that can do something about it. We might talk to somebody that don't have control, and that wouldn't get us anywhere, but we have conversations, and sometimes, I don't know, laying in bed, I got that on my mind, and that's how it works for me lately, especially in the last year or two. And I said, well, I'm going to bed early tonight, and then come to find out I'm still up talking to God, whether he hears me or not, which I know he does.
Mm-hmm, he do.
For those times, and I never seem to lose any sleep about it. When I go to sleep, it's sleep.
Yeah, I mean.
It ain't thrashing around. And so that's what makes me think that, what makes me know that it was worthwhile.
Amen.
So God bless you folks, and you got to be with us. Keep D in your prayer list, and continue to pray that she gets better as we go along.
Amen.
This old road of life, because I tell you what, when your checkbook gets short on breath, you're in a fix.
Yep.
Because that breath has been with you since the first minute.
Remember the old asthma commercial back in the 70s that said, it's like an asthma foundation advertisement or something, and their catch line was, because when you can't breathe, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty true statement.
Pretty true statement. So, you know, that's what a lot of these things do for us. And I believe it was Peter that said it. 1st or 2nd Peter, talking about pollution. And you know, we were put forth to manage this place, but we haven't done a good job of it, and a lot of time pollution catches up with us. And we need to thank the Lord for what we've got, and for the breath that we have, because now it's down to breath and blood. If you lose your breath, you've lost your life in the things that come to you by the way of your blood. Can certainly do the same thing. So breath and blood,
pretty important,
is an important part of your life, and you need to thank God.
Yeah, Dorothy reminded me about her daughter-in-law, Julie. She's having some issues again, so let's remember Julie as well.
Okay.
Thank you, Dort.
Thank you, Dorothy. God bless you, and thank you for being with us this day. Love you all.